In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This second Sunday in Easter goes by several names or titles. It is often, in the centuries, often been called Low Sunday. And not just because statistically we have the lowest attendance of the year following the highest attendance of today. But no, there's a beautiful theological, actually a sweet theological component to the title of Low Sunday. But the second Sunday of Easter closes out what is called the Octave of Easter. It is always believed that the first 8 days of the 50-day season of Easter are specifically sacred days. And we come to the end. And as the relationship analogous as the moon to the sun, we have the first Sunday of Easter that is loud and jubilant and unrestrained. The second Sunday today, no less joyful, but more calm and simple and reflective. Queen Elizabeth, the late queen, often in her Christmas addresses, and I listen to every one of them, especially in her latter years, talked about the act of reflecting. To reflect is in and of itself a form of prayer. And often when we think about reflections, when do we reflect? Well, when we think about the 24-hour period we call the day, it's often at the cool of the day, the end of the day. After industry, the ups and the downs, the pleasures, the successes, the joys, the sorrows, to the cool of the day when we have time, at the end of the death of the day, we find ourselves reflecting. And life. Life is the day of salvation. When do we often have more time to reflect in our latter years? After the fever of life is over, as the Queen would say, we have time to reflect. Reflect indeed is a noble thing. And that's what we do the second Sunday, this Low Sunday. It is a day of more reflection. I think it is a beautiful thing that the post-funeral happened in the cool of the day of the Easter Octave. Yesterday, not only our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, but all of Christendom reflected. It was so beautiful. I love today that our concert at 4 o'clock today is not full orchestra and choir, as wonderful as that is. It's a piano and a violin. It's the cool of the day of the Octave. So we come to Low Sunday. And always, always, and always, Mother Church on Low Sunday gives us a reflection of Doubting Thomas. Thus, the second affectionate title for the day, Doubting Thomas Sunday. We always have the account of Thomas, and there's a reason for that on this Low Sunday. But first, let me just say a word about Thomas. Who was he? We don't know that much about him. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first three Gospels, we often call them the Synoptic Gospels, because they're very similar. They see things as if through a similar eye. They just list Thomas. We know nothing. He's just listed midway through, usually between Bartholomew and Philip. Raise your hand if you're a little child. Okay, this is your patron saint. But John, if it weren't for John, John's a very different, the last Gospels will often say, very different in contrast to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John brings Thomas to life and tells us things about him that we know what kind of a man he was. If not, he was a literal-minded man, but also, once he gave his loyalty, it was there, a brave man. So we have three things we learn from John about Thomas. One of the stories is that toward the end of our Lord's ministry, remember, he was on the other side of the Jordan. He had to leave Jerusalem because of fear of being arrested. It was dangerous. But then he got news that his good friend Lazarus was dying, the brother of Mary and Martha, and then he died. And then he wanted to go to Lazarus. And it was in the disciples said, we can't, it's too dangerous. They will arrest you. And it was Thomas who bravely said, let us go, and we'll die with him. And they went. And then the next story of Thomas is in Jerusalem, and it really was but the latter days of our Lord's life. And he was preparing his disciples for his departure. And we call it the farewell discourse. In the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th chapter of John, we have the beautiful last words of Jesus to his disciples. It's worth reading and praying these chapters. And one of the most beautiful is the 14th chapter of John. It is the most read scripture at funerals. We read it just this week. When he gives his disciples and us great comfort. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, and you also will be. And you know the place where I'm going. And then Thomas interrupts. The farewell discourse interrupts. He said, but Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Thomas is always saying what other people are thinking about. And then he gives this beautiful teaching, changing it from the literal, a place of location, to a place of relationship. Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, so beautiful. And then thirdly, John tells us the famous story of Thomas. And we have it in the Gospel today, where he gets the epithet Doubting Thomas. Jesus revealed himself after the resurrection of his disciples the very day of the resurrection. And it's quite dramatic. He goes there behind closed doors, he appears to the disciples, and he gives them authority. What you find on earth will be found in heaven. And then it says he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of Acts, the Holy Spirit comes down 50 days after Easter, the day of Pentecost. In John's Gospel, the disciples get it early. And he breathed on them that very day. Well, guess who missed it? I would love to know where he was, and we will never know. But Thomas missed it. And can you imagine what it was like? The tension, probably. He comes back, and the disciples say, we've seen the Lord, he's risen. When we get to Thomas' famous line, unless until I see the marks in his hand and put my finger in his side, I will not believe. And I've often wondered, there was a whole week before he reappears to Thomas. That must have been an awful week for the disciples. But then he does. A week later, he appears, and I just love it. Okay, Thomas, here it is. Touch my hand and my side. And then Thomas replies with five of the most holy, beautiful words of profession a human being can offer. May we repeat them all of our lives. My Lord and my God. And thus the story of Thomas and how he got epithet Doubting Thomas. Why does the church place that story before us today always on this second Sunday, on this low Sunday? To remind us that doubt is a very important part of what it is to have faith. What is the opposite of faith? It's not doubt. In some way, I think it is absolute certainty. Cults, totalitarian governments, radicalized fundamentalism, is full of people seeking absolute certainty. And absolute certainty gives a sense of security, a false sense, but nevertheless a sense. When Nazi Germany came to rise, it didn't attract dumb people, but people seeking absolute certainty. Because it ingrained the need of security, the need to be loved, the need to belong, is a gut that you need that every human being has. And Mother Church knows that. And there's an answer to that. She says, yes, you need security. This is how you have it. Through community. Through the support of one another. That's what St. Paul says. Encourage one another day after day as long as it's still called today. Father Church says, you have it in your family, the community of your church. So then, you can look at your faith in the gray areas of life and the question of the doubt. And you can grow in those. You can use your imagination to be formed as a Christian. Why? Because you have the girding of your security in the family. And that's why the Mother Church says when there's a schism, when there's a disagreement, don't deny them. The best way out is always through. Go through them, not around them, but go through them fast. As fast as possible, because you need your family, the church. You need to belong so you have that security. So you can look at your faith in the gray area, and the questioning, and the doubt, and grow it. Doubt is so important. I call it the soft shell crab phase of faith. When crabs are shedding their shell, they're the most vulnerable, aren't they? And they can be eaten, they can't defend themselves, and yet that's the time that they grow. So the time of doubt, sometimes unpleasant it is, sometimes when our faith seems numb or even void, is the very time sometimes that we grow, but we need that sense of community and family. I give thanks for the sense of family that is in this particular parish. And so, may we carry the story of Doubting Thomas with us all through our Christian lives. And begin to forget it, don't worry, because we'll be reminded next year on the second Sunday of Easter. And memorize it. Read Mark Lord and inwardly digest it. Then we might carry it in our times of strength and of doubt, if we might say with Thomas all of our life, my Lord and my God. Amen.